He returns to our screens with a new six-part BBC series called Small Profits, which starts on the 9th of February on BBC Two. He sits patiently. He moves amongst us. It is Mackenzie Crook. How you doing, sir?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
I am good. Whenever I heard about Small Profits, I was wondering, obviously I hadn't seen it on the text. I hadn't seen it printed. I'm going, is this about a failing business or is this about a prophet predicting the future? Thankfully, it is the latter.
Yeah. I suppose it's a bit of a weak pun, which is always good to name your show with a weak pun. But yeah, it's about prophesying spirits, these strange creatures, homunculi.
Okay, so homunculi from the Latin, is that that's small people?
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, I should know that. But yes, they're mythical creatures in jars of water.
Okay. So small people kind of, so homunculi, that is the Latin for it. Leprechauns is kind of the Irish version of small people, but this is not that. Tell us about the idea, where it came from. I know it's been something that's sort of been bubbling and brewing in your head for a while.
Yes, so I found a passage in a book about a medieval Swiss alchemist called Paracelsus, and it was this account of somebody who'd grown these prophesying spirits in jars of water that could tell the future and answer any question truthfully. And it just, I don't know, it fascinated me, it bewitched me, this idea. And so I sat on it for a number of years until I figured out how I was going to use this idea. And so I decided to set it in suburbia, in a little suburban cul-de-sac in Manchester, and this guy's growing them in his shed at the bottom of the garden.
We'll take six. That was essentially the pitch meeting to the BBC.
literally,
you walk into a meeting, so Mackenzie, what have you got? Once you start that, and they just go, "We'll take six. We'll take six of those."
Yeah, on paper, it's it's a strange idea.
No, on paper, it sounds magnificent, and it sounds like a world that is just that you have already got fully formed in your mind.
Yeah. So that starts Monday.
You direct it, you star in it, but the main character is not you.
No, main character is played by Pierce Quigley, who viewers of Detectorist will remember as Russell. He was a member of the DMDC, big white beard. I've never seen it. I've known him 20 years. I've never seen him without his beard. But he's a brilliant, funny actor, and so he plays the main part, and Sir Michael Palin plays his dad, Brian. My part is very small, actually, isn't it?
I wanted to ask you about you playing the small part, but you mentioned Michael Palin there. I know that this was something someone that you wanted to work with for a while. Was that an easy booking?
Well, I worked with him very briefly on one of my Wurzel Gummidge episodes. He came in to play the Green Man, so I already had a connection there. So I sent him the script, and he got back almost immediately to say that he'd like to be involved, which is, I mean, it's amazing. He's a legend and, one of my heroes growing up, comedy heroes.
So whenever you are writing and directing this, you have decided that you are playing a smaller role. Is that because you wanted to focus on the directing, or did you just kind of feel, I'm not right to play the main role in this?
Oh yeah, I always wrote this with Pierce in mind, playing the main character. It's been percolating a long time, and it was when I decided I wanted to work with Pierce and put him front and centre that it all sort of started to crystallise the idea in my head. At first I thought I was going to remain the other side of the camera and just direct this, but then I couldn't really resist playing the part of Gordon, the pedantic Jobsworth manager of the DIY store where Michael works.
Who you began thinking had no redeeming features, and then you couldn't help giving him some redeeming features.
Yeah, he's you end up feeling sorry for him because he just wants a bit of respect and he gets none.
Oh, familiar. That is familiar, Mackenzie. There's so many people relating to that one. So the lead character, Michael, he's in a bit of a midlife rut, and do the spirits come to him? Does he summon them up? How does this work?
He's in a bit of a rut, and because his partner, his girlfriend, went missing several years ago, he doesn't know what happened to her. Once again, doesn't sound particularly funny. This is a comedy, I should just reiterate. But he wants answers. He wants to know where she is, and it's his dad, played by Michael Palin, who offers him this recipe of how to grow these magical prophesying spirits that may be able to give him some answers to where his beloved has gone.
And is this a complicated recipe?
Yeah. You don't want to Google how to grow homunculi because, yeah, there's various unspeakable ingredients you're supposed to use, which I haven't actually included in the TV show. But yeah, it's a complicated recipe and involved chanting and burying the jars for a period in horse manure. Yeah.
And
you should try it.
I should try it. I feel that this is the therapy that could potentially be the new A-list, the new A-list treatment.
Yes, yeah. Why not?
Seen in a Vogue spa coming soon. So these homunculi are summoned up, and they then kind of prophesize the future.
Yes, so he's got to figure out what he wants to ask them. And when it comes to it, he sort of chickens out to an extent. He doesn't know what to ask them because he's afraid of the answers. But yeah, and these creatures, I should say, are animated. We animated them using stop motion animation, which looks incredible.
So whenever you go into the BBC and you build this world, are you given pretty much free rein to do what you want? Because it seems to me that you're at the stage now of your career where you just go, I've got an idea. And, you know, we're obviously joking about the pitch earlier on, but you're almost beyond that. It's kind of, you know, whatever you want to do, you can create this world.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I've built up this really lovely, trusting relationship with the BBC, and that they will, you know, take my meetings and listen to what I've got. And yeah, though I think, yeah, I couldn't go in with something so outlandish and they'd just go along with it. But no, I'm in a very privileged position, and I love working at the BBC and making programmes for them. So yeah, that's great.
Small Profits, it starts this Monday on BBC Two. It is also on the iPlayer. Lots of messages coming in from Mackenzie. We'll be back with a little bit more after the news. We still have Fight and Talk coming up at 11, and James Fox will be here before that in the Five Live Lounge. But first, your news and sport.
Saturday morning with Patrick Kilty.
This is BBC Radio Five Live.
Welcome back to the show. We're here until 11. Rick Edwards is here with Fight and Talk. After that, he has David Alorca, Ife Obada, Kath Merry, Ray Bradshaw on the lineup this morning. Then Chappers will be here with all your sport. Live commentary, Arsenal, Sunderland, 3 p.m. England, Wales in the Six Nations, 4:30. Five Sports Extra, Newcastle United versus Brentford at 5:30. Sally says, hi, Paddy. I'm prepping in the kitchens this morning with Richard and Jeff. We love Mackenzie. Could we get a shout out? I mean, is that from Mackenzie? I'm assuming it's from Mackenzie. We'll see what he can do. He's a big star. He may not. Do you do shout outs, Mackenzie?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I know what a shout out is. What are the names again?
There you go. It's Richard, Jeff and Sally.
Richard, Jeff and Sally in the kitchen preparing. It's lovely to meet you. Is that right? Was that a shout out? My first one.
Apparently that's what it is. I've no idea. Gavin in North Devon says today's pyre lower was classic. Where am I going in Coventry? Yes, it was a classic pyre lower this morning, I've got to say. We're saying a prayer for all on board. Gavin is working in Croyde today. He's going to be following Plymouth later on. Pete in Yorkshire. I love hearing Mackenzie on the show this morning. I first watched The Detectorists in lockdown. I've been whistling the theme tune ever since. When you did Detectorists, that kind of spawned a whole kind of movement of treasure hunters. Do you think that this is going to be spawning the new show? Is it going to be a whole new world of alchemy that Small Profits is going to be spawning?
Yeah, possibly so. Or yeah, people go... buying sheds, going down the sheds at the bottom of the garden and doing strange things. Yeah. The metal detecting boomed after Detectorists, apparently. Which is great, I think.
The lead character in this, Michael, is in a bit of a midlife rut. You have mentioned been slightly obsessed with middle age recently yourself. I mean, was there a moment that you realised that was this a creeping thing? Is it something that you are overly concerned about, or do you kind of feel it's just a nod and we move on?
I'm not concerned about it, but I suddenly realised that everything you talk about is 20 years ago. It's just everything seems to have been 20 years ago, and I don't know how it happened. And my kids are adults, and I'm not worried because I'm in a good place, but I don't know how it happened. I'm sure that's the same for everyone.
What is the adult kid world? What does that look like? I mean, my kids are still pretty small.
Yeah, no, it's kind of scary. My son's now driving, and I don't know, the idea of him going out in a car by himself concerns me. And my daughter is 18. She went to a rave last night. I was like, oh, be careful, my little girl. Yeah.
But do you actually say these things, Mackenzie, or are these the things that you kind of just think and try to be the cool dad, which is like, yeah, cool, see ya?
I try and be that. But no, I end up giving her a list of stuff that, you know, keep your wits about you. Don't speak to any boys.
So it's kind of that boxing corner team talk. Keep your gum shielding at all times.
That's it. Be safe. That's the main one. Just be safe. Please be safe.
Please be safe. Did I read somewhere that your son is now doing stand-up?
Yeah. He is, which is an incredible thing for me to. I mean, I started off doing stand-up, but characters. I was always hidden behind some sort of mask, some sort of disguise. He's always, the thing that he most loves in the world is making people laugh, and he always has since he was very, very little. So now he's out there. I've not been allowed to see him yet. He doesn't want anyone to know that I'm his dad.
Ah, okay. So it's at that stage, okay? Because if you're saying that's something that he's always wanted to do, and so you're the parent, and as parents, we always want to support what our kids want to do. But is there this terrifying thing in your head where you're going, I know what this world is like and you don't want to be doing it? Or do you feel, I know what this world is like, I can kind of help steer you through it?
Yeah, exactly. It's the latter. And you know, he runs his material past me and we talk about it. And it can be terrifying, but it's brilliant as well. When it goes well, you know, there's no better feeling. And sometimes when you... the most difficult of audiences, and if you can break them and make them laugh, it's an incredible thing. Yeah, I miss those days.
You say that he knew from an early age that kind of this is sort of, you know, he wanted to be funny. This is what he wanted to do. I mean, you had a lot of jobs before you came into comedy. I know that you wanted to get into art before comedy. Was comedy a gradual burn for you?
I don't know. Looking back now, I realise that being funny has always been important in my family. My dad always made us laugh, and he had these brothers, my twin uncles, who were the funniest people I knew. And thinking back now, being funny has always been an important thing in the family. My son has taken that on as well.
So it's kind of, it's almost like a family currency.
Yeah.
In terms of, it doesn't really matter what you do in life, as long as you've got good chat.
Yeah. I think
you're
that's
good.
It. Yeah. And you're right. I thought art was what I was going to do. I didn't get into art school. And in hindsight, I'm thankful for that because, this is what I want to do, storytelling.
But whenever, you know, you take in that art and, you know, you're a brilliant director and, you know, you're using animation and stuff with this, I'm assuming that all of that... it's just a different type of art that you're putting on the screen.
Yes, I guess that's it. And so many doors have opened for me and so many opportunities have come along. So, I get to tell these stories in different ways. And, it's a great privilege.
We have a question from Claire. What does Mackenzie prefer doing, acting, directing or writing?
These days, I love the directing and the writing. you know, acting is still a thrill, but I'm kind of quite happy to take a step back from that and to the writing process. I find joyous. I love a day ahead of me with nothing else to do but to sit down and concentrate on the writing.
Are you somebody who could write and then hand it over to another director, or are you also a director who could take somebody else's material, or does it kind of have to be both?
Kind of both. I'm looking at directing somebody else's script later on in the year, a script that came my way that is brilliant, really, really good, and I can visualise it. But the idea of handing my own script over to another director, that's very difficult to hand away my baby and say, do what you will with this. Yeah, it's... And when I'm writing, I'm visualizing it so clearly that, you know, I know what it should look like. So it seems natural to want to direct it myself.
And is that directing of the other person's script, is that definitely going to happen?
No, it's one of those really frustrating things where I can't tell you details because it hasn't been, you know, green lit. But it's a feature film, and hopefully, yeah, towards the end of the year, I'll be directing my first feature film, which is very exciting.
So if you get into feature films and you are directing feature films, you've been in feature films, it is an entirely different world to doing sitcom. If you have now created this world, are you hoping that this world is going to continue and fit in around that?
Yes. I mean, I haven't finished telling the story of Small Profits yet. I would love for it to run over three series. That's how I'm sort of mapping it out. I haven't written the second series yet, but I'm ready to. And as soon as I get the nod, as soon as this first series goes out and if it goes down well and people want to see more, then I'm ready to launch into that. And yeah, I mean, if I'm crazy busy over the next couple of years, then brilliant. I can't wait.
Then they'll have to wait.
Yeah.
Then it's that moment where you've got the audience hooked, the Bieber supporting you, and they're just going to have to wait for series two, series three. Have you arced it out in terms of, you know, over three series where this, where you'd like this to go?
Yeah, very vaguely. I know the bigger stages and where I want to be at the end of series three, if it goes that far. But other parts of it, I haven't figured out yet, and I'm quite excited to find out where the story will go.
Lots of people on the texts, and look, I'm asking you this, but I mean, I know the answer. So, people are love The Detectorist, and when people love a comedy, they want more of it. I mean, John, there's James, there's a ton of people going, is there any chance ever? And I know by the look in your face.
I really think I need to leave it there on Detectorist. Yeah. And it's so lovely that people want more. And it still amazes me that it feels like people are still finding it 10 years after it originally went out. So, but I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to come up with a new series that isn't quite as good. And people say, oh, we shouldn't have done it after all. We shouldn't have asked him.
Whenever you're creating something new and something brilliant like this, and people still want to talk to you about stuff that has been brilliant that you have been in the past, like Detectorist and The Office, is that annoying, upsetting? Or I had Lisa McGee on The Late Late Show last night, and we were talking about Derry Girls, and she's got a new show, How to Get to Heaven, from Belfast, and it's on Netflix, and it's brilliant, and she's really excited about it. And I asked her that question of, when people come up to you and still want to talk about Derry Girls, you know, what does that make you feel? And she felt, oh, no, that I feel grateful about that, because that's something. So for you, when people want to talk about The Office or Detectorists, how do you feel?
Oh, exactly the same. Yeah. The moment I start getting irritated by people talking about my past work is the moment I should get out of this business, because, yeah, it's a great compliment that people still like those things and talk about them, certainly.
How dare you bring up my success?
I've moved on from that.
Don't you know I have moved on to something else? So it's coming out. Is it all going to drop at once, or is it drip feed?
Yeah, no, it's all dropped on iPlayer on Monday. It's going out on BBC Two at 10 o'clock on Monday nights. But yeah, if you want to watch it all, the box set drops on Monday.
Mackenzie, thank you so, so much for coming in today. You can catch Small Profits on BBC Two iPlayer on Monday at 10 p.m.